Thank you, Mr. Moss, both Scott and Mitch. Thank you both. Well, happy feast to all of you. Well, it's wonderful to be here together at God's Feast of Tabernacles with all of you, and I'm looking forward to a spiritually filled feast with all my brothers and sisters. I'll just mention as well, at the conclusion of this message, we'll take up a holy day offering, so if anybody needs a white offering envelope, go ahead and raise your hand at this time, and an usher will be along to give you one. Well, brethren, how often do we focus on the fact that we've been given a wonderful calling? You know, we are a special people, a holy nation, as the Bible describes. And we have been called to be in God's eternal family, as first fruit spirit beings. You know, I can't think of a thought more wonderful than that. But, you know, there's always that but. In order to get there, we have to make it through this temporary physical human existence first. And within this temporary physical life is another brief period of time, these annual holy days. Observing the Feast of Tabernacles, it mirrors this physical life that we're living. You know, both of them are fleeting. Both only last for a period of time. And in both, we are ultimately pilgrims seeking a homeland, that being the kingdom of God. The Apostle Peter describes the fleeting state of this human life, and he also describes how we're to be living our physical lives on earth. And then we can also tie this into how we should be conducting ourselves and living here at the feast. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll stay here in 1 Peter for the duration of this message. And we're just going to read snippets of chapters 1 and 2, but you know, I would suggest sitting down later on and reading these two chapters in their entirety. Because if we can truly grasp and do what's being said here, then our feast observance as holy people will be pleasing to God. And we can leave this feast continuing to live in the way of holiness for the rest of our temporary physical life. And so the title of my message today is Be Holy, for I Am Holy. And we'll start with verse number 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3, it says, Blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now let's stop for a moment and let's get excited about what we're reading here. You know, God has an inheritance laid up for you and me. It does not fade away, and it is reserved and waiting for us. And as difficult as this life sometimes gets, and it does get very difficult at times, we can make it. We can be there, and it will be so worth it to be there. Verse number 6, notice the joy that we should have while living this life, despite the obstacles. 1 Peter 1, verse 6, In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, you know, your faith is much more precious to God than even gold. Though it is tested by fire, your faith may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. Yes, we do live in this temporary human life. And while we live this life, our faith is tested. It's tested by fire. And the trials that we go through can be grievous. Ultimately, though, they are for just a little while, until we make it to the time when we will receive praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we're told to rejoice in this life and to rejoice here at the feast. And so let's be rejoicing with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Coming down now to verse 13, let's hone in on our mindset as we live this human life and as we enjoy the blessings of these feast days. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. You know, let's have our minds be prepared. Let's be ready to learn, ready to grow, to be molded by God's word. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. You know, the Greek words that are translated holy, hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S, hagios and its derivatives, it means to be cleansed of faults and set apart by God, who is himself faultless and pure. If we are to be holy as God is holy, then we will demonstrate that as we observe this feast. When, not if, but when something doesn't happen quite as we expect it, then being holy means that we don't start grumbling and complaining. When our eyes suddenly fall someplace where they shouldn't, being holy means that we don't let them linger, but we look away quickly. While we're here at the feast, if we're looking to spend our time and our tithe to give to others and to serve others, then we are being holy. When this time spent with our family is unifying and peaceful, then we are being holy. When we put God first and foremost as we are observing the feast, then we are being holy. And there are so many ways that we can demonstrate holiness here at the feast. And going on in 1 Peter 1, verse number 17, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Our conduct during our stay in this life and our stay at this feast is something that we should always be considering very carefully. And that's because we were paid for with something very valuable. Verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, or from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed how? With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so this is a reminder that you and I were bought and paid for with the highest price possible, the precious blood of Christ. And therefore, we as representatives of God and of the kingdom of God, and so we are to be holy as God is holy. Let's go on now to chapter 2. Again, there's so much that we can glean at this time of the year from these two chapters. In 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10, Peter continues to write about this special calling that you and I have been blessed to have been given. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Why? Well, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Again, Peter ties holiness into the call, the wonderful calling that we've been given, that marvelous light. Now, verse number 10, which is taken from Hosea 1. You remember Hosea had to name one of his children Lo-Ami, which means you were not my people? Well, notice verse 10. You were once not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Remember also that another child of Hosea's was named Lo-Ruhamah, meaning no mercy. But now verse 10 says, you have obtained mercy. And so Peter, he goes back to Hosea's life, and he uses this, and he's, in essence, saying to, you know, you and I, you know, you, you were once not a chosen people, but now you have been chosen. And there was a time when you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And why? Well, again, so that you may be a holy nation, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, so that you may proclaim the praises of God. And so, brethren, we must be putting on God's holy, righteous character. You know, God has set you and I apart to be truly his own special people, and we must always be acting like it. In verse 11, 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So our conduct in this temporary physical existence is to glorify God now and in the day of visitation. And during this feast, when we demonstrate our holy conduct, we will be reflecting the wonderful kingdom to come. So going back to 1 Peter 1:16, it says that this phrase, be holy for I am holy, was written somewhere. Well, there are several places in the book of Deuteronomy, you know, which we just read together as a church, where God commanded the Israelites to be holy. They were to set the example. They were to be that model nation to the nations around them. Unfortunately, they too often came up short in that. But now that is the church's calling today. You and I are now God's chosen people, and we are to be a holy nation, set apart from the rest of this world. And so, brethren, on this holy day, this first great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, as it has been called, a day set apart by God as holy time, let us have joy and rejoice. But let's also consider the command for us to be holy. And then as we observe the remainder of this feast, and then afterwards as we go on and live the remainder of our physical life, let's always be looking forward to our incorruptible and undefiled inheritance, which does not fade away. And brethren, let our conduct, our words, and our actions follow this very important principle of God. Be holy, for I am holy. Well, brethren, again, we'll be taking up an offering next, and if any of you still need an envelope, please raise your hand. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 23. We'll look at a couple scriptures specifically here regarding the offering. Here in Leviticus 23 is the command for us to be here on this holy day. We'll read starting in verse number 33. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. And for 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And then verse 39, and on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you've gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall again keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day a Sabbath rest. And so these verses tell us that we are to be gathered together on the 15th day of the 7th month of the Hebrew calendar. And it says that we are to give an offering to God. And as new covenant Christians, you know, we're no longer required to offer animal sacrifices. But we follow the mandate of Deuteronomy 16, verses 16 through 17, which tells us that 3 times a year or 3 seasons a year, we are to appear before God. And we are to give as we are able. And when we give an offering, it is an act of worship to God. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 96. Psalm 96 conveys the importance of what we are getting ready to do. Here in Psalm 96, verse number 8, give to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. This holy convocation that's assembled here today, it's beautiful in the eyes of God. And you and I have come here today. We've come here into the court of God, so to speak, worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness, in the beauty of his holy convocation. And part of our worship of God today involves bringing an offering. And so we'll do this together with reverence, with seriousness, giving God the glory that he is due. So brethren, as the offering is being taken up, we'll be treated today to a piano solo entitled The Departure. The Departure, and it will be played for us by Elizabeth Hansen.